Let's just continue to worship the Lord in prayer. Father, you are holy. We know it to be true. Your word says it. And because you are holy, and because you have sent your Son to die and shed his blood for our sin, and because you have sent your Spirit, you have called the church to be holy also. Forgive us, Lord. I fear that holiness is not that high on a priority any longer. Help us, Lord, we pray. Help us, your church, not a denomination, your people all over the globe, to be holy people. To be a people not thinking we're superior in any way, but we've been redeemed. To be a people who have been redeemed and filled with the Holy Spirit of God, to be holy people and salt and light, so the world at large that hurts and is wandering on the broad road to destruction will see Jesus in the church. I pray, O God, that you would revive the church and we would be holy people. Not holier than thou, holy people. Father, people will gather all over the globe today. It's your day. And there will be billions that do not. May you do a work in both sets, those that gather and those that do not. May you do a work, Heavenly Father, in this town, in this region, in this nation. Do a work of revival, O God. We need you. And we cry out to you this morning, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. But we cry out to you, Father, too, for revival. We need help. I pray, Heavenly Father, that in this sanctuary, on this day, that your Spirit would speak to ears and to hearts, and we would have, as Jesus said over and over and over, ears that hear. May my ears always be in tune to you. Forgive me when I'm not, and they are not. Help us in this congregation and in congregations everywhere to have ears that hear from you today, holy Heavenly Father. I pray again for the hurting, Father, that have lost their loved ones lately. But as our hearts yesterday mourned the loss of Lynn, Happy Bell, we rejoiced at her homegoing. That is our hope. Our hope only lies in Christ. May we know Jesus the Christ in a personal, transforming, powerful, life-changing way before it is eternally too late. But I do pray you would comfort those families. Many in this congregation have lost their loved ones this year and in the past. Comfort them, Father, we pray. Many in this town, Father, including some that sit in our churches, have no time for you. Scarcely do we offer up an hour to you on Sundays. We know about you, but we don't know you. Father, help us to know you in this town and in this region. Help us to know you in a transformational way. Glorify your name in your church, O God, I pray. Glorify your name here today. in our services and in churches all over, from here to South Korea, from Pillager to Pakistan, from Staples to Africa, from Lincoln and Leader to China, and all parts in between. May you be glorified, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It just excites me to no end to see people come and stop in here at Motley from time to time from all over the United States. There was people here yesterday in Lynn's funeral, all the way from Georgia and parts all over the globe, perhaps, have been here in our congregation. And no sooner did we get tidied up yesterday, Sherry and I think were the only ones left. The family had come, they had taken the things, and in drives a van. They were from Rochester, New York. They said, "This is a Free Methodist church?" I said, "Yes, sir, this is a Free Methodist church. We've heard about this place." And so we visited for a while. She grew up in Staples, and she's now, they've been in Rochester, New York all these years, and she heard about what God was doing in Motley Free Methodist Church. I say, praise be to God. And this morning we have a friend with us all the way from Seoul, South Korea. Hallelujah. I love to see people from other parts of this country and other parts of the world. We've been looking at Proverbs for a while. Matter of fact, we've been looking at Proverbs pretty much since the beginning of May, except for a couple of diversions here and there. And I'm going to go back to Proverbs in time, because there's more there we can glean from that in everyday living. But I'm going to detour around Proverbs today. The Lord has put a word on my heart for a week or two. It's a heavy word. And when the Lord burdens me, it's hard for me to convey. Sometimes. But we live in urgent times. We live in troubled times. Have you noticed? Can I get a witness? Do we live in troubled times? We live in troubled times. Let me ask you this before I go any further. We pass out about 100 Light and Life magazines every month. I think there'll be another one coming next Sunday already. Did you read the last one? And particularly, there was two articles. One of them was from one of the bishops that said, "Quit quitting." Did you read that, brothers and sisters? Anybody? Some of you did. Oh, mercy, we're not reading too good. Then the next one, or one of the next ones, was about a pastor who confessed he really didn't even have love for people. I'm thinking, how does that work? Anyway, this quit quitting, if you've got last month's Light and Life magazine, and there's several of them still laying around out here, I would encourage you to read the bishop's article, "Quit Quitting." He's calling on the church to quit, stop in the loving our neighbor department. And what I have to say today goes along with that just a little bit. That's why I mentioned it, and I wondered if you read it. Three places from Scripture I'm going to invite us to turn to this morning. The first one comes from Matthew 9, 35 to 38. If you've got your word, turn in it and follow with me. Matthew 9, 35 to 38. We're going there first. Then when Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Why? Because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. And at that point, he said to the disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." And therefore he called upon the disciples that day, "Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." He's addressing the 12. Now from Luke chapter 10. verse 1 through 4. Luke chapter 10, verse 1 through 4. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And then he said to the 70, he's now addressing 70, he said, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." John 4, verse 34 and 35. This is the setting, you will remember, where Jesus and the disciples were passing through Samaria, and he was tired, he was weary, and so he sat down at the well. The disciples went on into the city to gather up something to eat. While he was at the well, the Samaritan woman came. You know the story, the woman at the well. His disciples came back. He had had conversation with her, so she goes back to town. The disciples are there with some physical food to eat, and they said, "Lord, eat." And here's his reply, John 4, 34 and 35. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." As he addresses the 12, he says, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest?" And our farmers and ranchers here would say the same thing. And those of you that have gardens, you would understand that completely. There comes a time when there's going to be a physical harvest. And Jesus said to his 12, you would rationalize 12 that you know there will come a time when it's time to gather up the barley, to harvest the wheat, whatever it was. He said, you would say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. But I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields now, because they are ripe for harvest. I don't know if you've noticed the headlines of last week or not. I don't watch a lot of 6 o'clock news. Matter of fact, I pretty much watch none. But I've seen plenty of headlines on the computer as I have worked this week. Headlines from Charlottesville that read like this: "I saw bodies flying everywhere." That, of course, was because the car plunged into the protesters who were protesting the protesters. Or the headlines that said 3 killed in shooting at car races right down here south of Milwaukee. At car races. 3 killed in shooting at car races. Or this headline: 8 million dead. What nuclear war with North Korea would look like. Or this headline: Iceland eliminating Down syndrome. But really, you read the fine print, and truth be known, the truth is, the attempt is to eliminate children in the womb with Down syndrome, so there isn't any more in our society. That's what the headline really states. May I just go off on a tangent for a moment? Every time somebody passes away, we mourn. I don't care if they're 99 or they're 9 months. We mourn. We hurt. We cry and we weep at their passing. And yet we celebrate killing babies in the womb because they've got Down syndrome. What is the matter with us? What is the matter with us? We mourn when a little baby dies. We mourn when Catherine is sick. And yet we kill babies in the womb and we celebrate the right to choose. My rights. We celebrate because we can boast with headlines. No more Down syndrome in Iceland. That's because we're killing the babies in the womb. That's why we've been doing it for 5 years. What is the matter with us? This is not a headline to be celebrated. This is a headline that should make us weep. Weep for babies unborn. Weeping for 57 million of them in our nation that have not been given the chance to live. We celebrate these things and call it rights and all this stuff. God's heart is breaking at our choices. I read these headlines. I forgot to put a hanky in my pocket. I read these headlines. Thank you. And my heart is breaking. You know why it's breaking? I'll tell you why. Where's the church? Are we listening? Do we care? Does the church still have a pulse? Or has the heart of the church stopped beating? We're too busy in the church amusing ourselves. We're too busy buying the next trinket. We're too busy storing up treasures on earth. We don't have a clue what treasures in heavens means anymore. We're too busy at work. We're too busy at retirement. We're too busy for Jesus today. We're too busy worshiping at the altar of self to even know what's happening. The hatred in America is killing us. What breaks my heart is I'm asking myself, I am part of the church. Do we have a pulse that hears what Jesus hears and sees? Do we hear the words of Jesus when he said over and over and over, when he said, the harvest fields are ripe? Do you see it, church? Do you see the harvest is plentiful? He said, don't tell me there's a harvest in a long time down the road. It is ripe today. Do you see it, church? Jesus said over and over and over, at a minimum, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send some laborers into this harvest because it's ripe for harvest right now. And I wonder, what breaks my heart more than anything else? Do we care? Do we even care? Do we care that people are going to hell on a moment-to-moment basis? Jesus commanded in Scripture, at a minimum, pray to God about the lost souls that are around you. At a minimum, pray for the lostness of America and the globe. At a minimum, pray for those that you don't even like. Jesus commanded it in Scripture, pray for your enemies. And I wonder today if we even care about the lostness of humanity. I'll bet you I have not had a chance to talk to my brother from Seoul, South Korea, but I bet you the people in South Korea are praying for the people in North Korea. I bet you they are praying, the Christians in South Korea are praying for the North Korean leader. The harvest fields are beyond ripe. Hatred in America is killing us. Do we in the church remember the greatest second commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. We're too busy loving ourselves. I see it every day. I see it all over America. Call ourselves a Christian nation. We're too busy loving ourselves to love our neighbor. He did not say you get to pick your neighbors either. I wonder this morning, how can we say we love God and we don't love our neighbors? In the church. You know what Jesus would call that? Hypocrites. Just like he did in Matthew 23 when he spoke to the Pharisees and scribes and called them snakes, brood of vipers, hypocrites. I'm part of the church. I'm talking to me here today too. And more than us that have gathered here. The church. How can we say we are Christ followers when we can't stand the sight of a person that is different than we are? Do we see the harvest fields? Those people that are different than we are part of the harvest fields. Do we see it? Jesus reminded us over and over and over in Scripture, the harvest truly is plentiful, but there's hardly any laborers. Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, but I say to you, love your enemies. That takes your commitment to Christ to a new level. When Jesus said the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and the second one is just like it, loving your enemies is a litmus test if you really love the Master or not. We can say we love God all day long, and if we do nothing about it, James says, I will show you my faith by my works. In other words, how I love my neighbor. Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And I know the arguments because I've heard them. Well, I'm not called to that. Let me tell you some things that believers are called to. Every believer in Christ is called to love your neighbor. Every one of us. Don't use that excuse to God anymore. I'm not called to that. Every believer is called to love your enemy. So stop using that for an excuse too. Every follower of Jesus is called to pray to the Lord of the harvest for the lostness of souls. Every follower of Christ is called to be light. To be light where we work. To be light on Facebook. To be light in your homes, in your communities, in your recreation. He has called every believer to be light. Martin Luther King said it this way a long time ago. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. And it will never work. And if the church is playing the role of darkness, don't ever count on anything changing in America, because darkness will prevail. Every believer in Jesus Christ has been commissioned to go and make disciples. It is time, brothers and sisters, the church start doing what Jesus said to do. It is time to stop making excuses for our behaviors, for our attitudes. We, if you haven't noticed, are in a very tumultuous time in America, more so than I have ever seen in my 58 years. And if the church, brothers and sisters, listen to me, if the church is not going to be part of the solution, the church is part of the problem. You say, Jim, I don't buy that. If we are not going to do what Jesus has instructed us to do in this nation, in this community, where we work, where we play, if we are not doing what Jesus said to do to be part of the solution to the hatred and the hurt and the lostness, then we're just part of the problem. It's just not pastors called to preach the word. It's not evangelists just called to be light. It's not just the missionary to call to love the unlovely. It is the church, brothers and sisters. God knows when was the last time you prayed for somebody that was lost. God knows when was the last time He put somebody in your path and you did nothing about it. God knows when He put somebody in your circle that you would quantify as an enemy and how you handle that situation. He knows that. You don't have to agree with what I'm saying this morning, but God has convicted me the church is not being the church. And I know that I am not just speaking to us today here that have gathered in Motley Free Methodist. We are sitting here in the flesh, but my heart is for the church in America. It's time to wake up and be the church. It's time to do what God has called us in His Word to do and stop making excuses like it is somebody else's role. Like I have no role in the kingdom of God. Because if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think I've made clear to you this morning, every follower has a role to play. Light, salt, praying, all these things. Every believer. Loving our enemies, I'm going to quit just about next. Loving our enemies means stop being so judgmental of people that are not like you and I and start praying for them instead. This whole supremacy logic that we're hearing so much about, this whole because somebody's got a skin color, they're supposed to be something better than somebody with a different skin color is from the devil. Okay? This whole supremacy logic is from hell. God created people in His image. Doesn't matter if my skin color is lighter or darker. This idea that I'm in the church and I'm better than they are is just like the Pharisees. Remember the time when the Pharisee said, "Oh, I'm glad I'm not like that sinner." This whole supremacy argument is killing us. And it's high time the church do what God called us to do when He said, humble yourselves and pray and seek the face of God and repent of our own sin, and then God will forgive our sins and start a work of healing in our land. If we in the church are just going to do life by the flesh, nothing is going to change. If the church would actually start doing the things that Jesus commanded us to do, I assure you, things would change. Why do I assure you that? Because Jesus wouldn't have told the church what He told us to do if He didn't plan on responding when the church does what He's called it to do. He plans on responding when He calls us to be light and to be salt and to pray and all of these things. He plans on responding to that. He doesn't need us, but He has called us to be the salt and light in a world that's hurting. And when we join right in the hate and the slinging of words and our attitudes and everything else, we are not contributing to the light. We are contributing to the darkness. Jesus did not call us to cast out darkness with darkness. Martin Luther King was right. He said that'll never work. He called us to be light. Turn the light on in these hateful situations. Turn the light on in these dark scenarios. Turn the light on so that people will see your good works, He says back in Matthew, and they'll glorify your Father in heaven. That's why He called us to be salt and light. Not for a pat on the back for me, certainly not for this denomination, but to bring God glory, because the church is being the church. Bishop Kendall said this at one of our meetings that I was at this year. The world will see and benefit only when it sees more of Jesus in you. He's dead on. Us as individuals in our workaday world, in our factories, in our homes, on our farms, where we do our pleasure, the workaday world, the pleasure world, wherever else, the world will see and benefit only when it sees more of Jesus in you and me. And so, I know I'm speaking to a small crowd today in comparison to America and our problems. But I figure it this way. The light needs to shine somewhere. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Friends, let me say this morning. If you're here this morning and haven't been reborn in your spirit, none of this is going to add up or make any sense. You must be born again, Jesus said. Religion is not going to get you to heaven. And so I'm asking you this morning, friends, if you have never surrendered completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ by repenting of sin, believing on Him as Savior, and receiving Him as Lord, it's time. Eternity depends on what you do with Jesus. And when you surrender to Jesus, it's a brand new day. His Spirit will come into you, and you can be part of His advancing army, and part of the light, and part of the prayer warriors for Him, and make a difference in our world. Surrender to Him today if you never have. Father, I praise You for Your Word. It has spoken to me this week. And I pray, Heavenly Father, for the church. Revive the church. We have become lethargic, lukewarm, and worldly. We have become complacent with our own faith, with no cares for anybody else. We have not prayed like You've called us to pray. We have not been salt like You've called us to be. We have not been light. We have not loved our neighbors because we love ourselves. We have not loved our enemies. We're too busy with amusing ourselves. Forgive us, Father, in the Church of America. Revive us, O God. Glorify Your name in Your church. Save souls, transform, redeem, sanctify. Use Your church to bring You glory, O God. Today, this week, and until Jesus comes, use Your church, O God, to bring You glory, I pray. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.